This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brand. Does this sound familiar? You forgot where you put your keys, the keys you just had in your hands. You can't remember the name of the movie you saw last night. And that guy, oh, I've met him several times. What's his name again? Well, Sue Halpern is here to talk about these types of memory lapses and the more serious ones, the ones that indicate Alzheimer's disease. She's the author of a new book. It's called Can't Remember What I Forgot, The Good News from the Front Lines of Memory Research. Sue Halpern, welcome to Day to Day.
Thank you.
Now, you spent many years researching this book. You spoke to top researchers in the field of neuroscience. What started you on this journey?
Well, there are kind of two motivations. One was that it seemed to me like everyone I knew suddenly was worried about their memory. And I just kept on hearing people say, I'm having a senior moment, or, gosh, I can't remember that person's name. I must have early Alzheimer's. And it just became kind of dominant in the conversation, almost like a cultural tic.
Yeah.
And then my dad got sick. And he really did have serious memory problems. And that made me wonder why I wasn't worried and did I need to be worried.
And so then did you get worried?
A little bit. I decided that in order to really understand this and also to understand the anxiety, I should put myself through the neuropsychological tests, which are, you know, six-hour batteries of paper and pencil tests. And then I wanted to get scanned and all the different ways you get scanned just to see what my brain looked like, even though at the time when I was doing it, I wasn't sure that I really did want to know what my brain looked like.
What kind of things did they ask you on these tests?
All sorts of things. So they might tell you a story that was about a paragraph long, and then they'd ask you to tell them all of the pertinent details, all the things that happened in the story. And then maybe 15 minutes later, they'd read you another story and they'd say, repeat this story back to us verbatim. Or they might give a long list of words and you have to tell them what they were and then alphabetize them 15 minutes later. Or give you pictures to remember, to draw from memory right away, and then maybe a half an hour later, you'd have to come back up with this image, which was very complicated.
That sounds really stressful.
It was really stressful.
So were you thinking the whole time, if I don't do well on this, then I am going to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's or something grave?
The funny thing about taking the tests is that after about the third hour, you get a sort of battle fatigue and you just kind of give up and you just think, all right, whatever, I'm just going to get through this. And at least for me, I stopped worrying about it about an hour three. And I just thought, whatever it is, it is.
Right.
And, I'll deal with it.
You gave into it. Can the researchers tell, after going through the results of these tests, can they tell pretty conclusively that you have a healthier brain or if you have some kind of illness after taking these tests?
They actually can. These tests are pretty much as comprehensive as a brain scan. So they give you a really good picture of a person's brain because they're testing so many different parts of it. And they test it in such a way that you get compared not to, like, the general public, but you get compared to people like you. So for me, it was, you know, women between the ages of, say, 45 and 50 who have, in my case, you know, graduate education. You know, so they sort of make it so that the norm is the norm for people who are very much like yourself.
What about someone who's not going to take these tests? Is there anything that they can see in their daily lives that they should pay attention to that may indicate some kind of beginnings of an illness?
There's a standard line that groups like the Alzheimer's Association say, and the line is something like, if you misplace your keys, that's one thing, but if you forget what your keys are for, that's a disease. If you're looking at something and saying, like my dad, when he was sick, looked at a can opener and said something like, I know what this is for, but I don't know what it's for, that is very problematic. If you find yourself getting lost a lot, you know, really disoriented, that's a problem.
You interviewed lots and lots of people, experts on this, and maybe you could just tell us what they know about why we lose our memory and when we begin to lose it and really if there's anything to be done about it.
Everybody starts to lose memory pretty early on. I mean, really starting in your 20s, and that just continues. And there are physiological reasons for that. Parts of your brain are not functioning as efficiently as they had. Your brain becomes somewhat hypometabolic. It slows down. Some of the neurotransmitters are not there in as much with as much volume as they had been. And there's this other thing that happens that's really interesting, which is that your brain starts to produce neurons in a kind of slower way. So you've always been producing new neurons throughout your whole life, but that production starts to slow down. And there's a theory that the slowing down of that production is the thing that is causing, among other things, the things that are causing normal memory loss. And so to answer the other part of your question, it looks like physical exercise, like aerobic exercise, actually increases the production of new neurons in the brain, and particularly in the very part of your brain where your short-term memory resides. One of the studies I like the best is one that shows that people who do social dancing, you know, ballroom dancing or contra dancing, tend to be those who, you know, when push comes to shove, get dementia less. And I think the reason is because it has a social component, it has a physical active component, and it has an intellectual and it has a spatial component. So it has all these things going on at once. So it, you know, exercises sort of every part of our being while it's happening.
And what are scientists telling you? I mean, your subtitle of your book is The Good News from the Front Lines of Memory Research. Are they saying that they expect to find a cure for Alzheimer's anytime soon?
Yeah, they do, actually. That sounds kind of unlikely. But the fact is that even in the course of the time that I was working on the book, things changed radically. Diagnostics got so much better to the point where there are tests now that can show Alzheimer's disease 9 years before there are ever symptoms. The other thing that happened when I was working on the book is they were able to distinguish in the brain precisely where Alzheimer's begins versus normal memory loss. And that's important because, so in order to get a really good drug, you have to find the target and then you aim at it and you have a much better chance of hitting it. That's all brand new. So, you know, a lot is happening and it's happening from so many different angles that I think the optimism is completely justified.
Sue Halpern, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That's Sue Halpern. She's the author of the new book, Can't Remember What I Forgot, The Good News from the Front Lines of Memory Research. And she's also the Middlebury College Scholar in Residence in English and American Literatures.